We've come into the Lord's house to encounter him around the table. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Amen. Thank you, Bert, for our opening music this morning. Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day, especially this morning as we gather around the table and remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us. Thank you for joining us this morning for worship. Thank you for those who are joining us via Facebook Live this morning. If you are joining us online this morning, make sure you go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and pull up our worship bulletin there. Use that as a resource for today, for our worship time this morning, but also as a resource for the ministries coming up in the life of our church. Also, if you're watching online, we will be taking communion later on in the worship service. So make sure you have some elements there at your home that you can use to represent the body and blood of Christ this morning. If you are a first-time guest with us here in person or watching online, I encourage you to either fill out a visitor's card and drop it off in the offering plates as you leave after worship this morning, or send us an email this morning. Let us know you are worshiping with us, and we'll get in touch with you later on this week just to welcome you and thanking you for joining us for worship this morning. For our church family, I do want to remind you that this afternoon at 4 o'clock we have our Elon Roundtable meeting. This is our business meeting for our church. We will have actually one item that we will be voting on. We'll be voting on our ministry team list for this upcoming church calendar year. We'll also be discussing many other things at our roundtable meeting this afternoon. So I want to invite all of you to come out this afternoon at 4 o'clock upstairs in our fellowship hall for our roundtable meeting. Looking ahead to this week, ministry opportunities that are coming up, you can see those in your bulletin this morning. Of course, Tuesday night, our virtual Bible study continues at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. This week, we'll be looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. On Wednesday, our praise team number 3 will be practicing at 6 p.m., so come out for that practice this week. Is that 6:30?
6:30.
Sorry, 6:30 p.m. for praise team number 3. And then Thursday, our book club will be meeting at 11 a.m. at Barnes & Noble. Now, you heard last week from Gabe that our seniors will be taking a fun and fellowship trip to the Saks Fifth Avenue General Store on Tuesday, August 22nd, leaving the church, the lower parking lot here at the church, at 10:30 a.m. Today is the deadline to sign up for that trip. So if you're interested in going, make sure you sign up in the church foyer this morning or in one of the Sunday school classrooms. We need to know who's planning on going on that trip. So make sure you sign up today for that trip if you're planning on going to Saks Fifth Avenue General Store. Today is also the deadline to bring items for our classroom collection sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for all those who brought school supplies already. The boxes are almost overflowing, but there's still room for a few more. If you forgot to bring your items this morning, bring them this afternoon to the roundtable meeting and place them in the boxes. Kramer will be taking those to the Chamber of Commerce tomorrow to deliver them. So, it's still not too late. If you still want to bring some items, you can run out to the store this afternoon and bring them by tonight, this afternoon, the roundtable meeting, so we can get those in that collection. I also want you to mark your calendar, and you notice those things on your bulletin this morning for August 27th. This will be a full day of ministry here at First Baptist Elon. The fun all begins that morning at 9 a.m. with a teacher appreciation brunch that'll take place at 9 a.m. upstairs in the fellowship hall. It'll be a day to celebrate our teachers, present and past. It'll be a wonderful time of fellowship around the table. Everyone is invited to that teacher appreciation brunch on the 27th at 9 a.m. And then during the worship service that day, we will have our annual blessing of the backpacks as we remember our students and our teachers and our families as they remember this time of transition in the year when children go back to school, our students go back to school, our teachers are back in the classroom. It is a time of transition for our community, and we want to lift up prayer for that time. Then later on that afternoon at 5 p.m. we will host our second annual block party. We had a wonderful gathering last year, and we're going to do it again. It starts at 5 o'clock for the meal, but we want you to come out a little bit earlier to walk the neighborhood, to pass out invitations to all our neighbors. The college students are already starting arriving. Saw many as they were unloading their cars this past week in our neighborhood. Was able to roll down the window and wish them, welcome them back to the neighborhood, and I'm excited about them coming to our block party on the 27th. So mark your calendar for that date. It will be a wonderful day of ministry here at First Baptist Elon. You'll also notice this morning as you walked around the church, you may have seen these in your classroom as well, the Abundant Life Ministry, this meeting here, they need some volunteers. They want some volunteers from our congregation that want to help out with their ministry. If you are interested in it, I encourage you to stop by and look at one of those yellow flyers that's sitting in our promotional on the walls here at First Baptist Elon. Notice what's needed. If you can fill one of those spots or want to help out just on a regular basis with Abundant Life, I encourage you to call the number there or speak to myself this morning or in this coming week and see if there's a way that you can help. They're having a wonderful time during the weeks, a lot of wonderful laughter and joy that's taking place with Abundant Life Ministry. Last but not least, and many of you already know this, our very own Gay Collins back here will be having surgery on Thursday. And so I asked prayer for her on Thursday. She is ready. She is ready. But be in prayer for her this week. Be in prayer for her as she waits, and she will be, and be in prayer for Jerry too. He's saying, pray for me too, but Jerry will pray for you second. We're praying for her first. But be in prayer for Gay this week, and she'll be out for a little bit of time after the surgery. So know that I will be sending out updates on Thursday after the surgery goes well. But be in prayer for her. We're going to have a lot of people filling in over the next couple weeks. A lot of people have already stepped up, will be helping out. We may have some limited individuals in the office in the next week or two. So be flexible with us as a staff. Janice is out of town this week on vacation, so starting on Thursday, I will be the lone staff person available. So all of you have my number, but don't everybody call me on Thursday afternoon. So if you do, I may put it on silent. You can call the deacons, call your deacon if you have a need, call the church office, leave a message. As always, we will get back in touch with you. But again, be in prayer for Gabe on Thursday. Most importantly, I will send an email out on Thursday to let you know how the surgery went. But be in prayer for her. This is a needed surgery, and we will be in prayer for you most importantly. Okay? Let us prepare our hearts and minds today to encounter the one who gave it all for us. That's why we're here, to worship and celebrate. Let's worship this morning.
Our opening hymn this morning is Let Us Break Bread Together. Let's stand and worship together.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 85, reading verses 8 through 13. I will listen to what God, the Lord, will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. As we think about how God goes before us, as he provides for us every single day, that is what he has done for us as we approach the Lord's table this morning. Let us pray this morning. O Lord, Be gracious to us. Look upon your people with mercy. Forgive our sin. Bring us back again as you have done many times before. Speak your word to us, a word of peace to those who follow faithfully. For we know without doubt that your salvation is near. Your glory fills this room this very day. Let your unfailing love and truth come together among us. Let your righteousness and peace surround us. Pour out your goodness upon us that we may worship and serve you all of our days. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is probably not a very familiar communion hymn to you. It's called Here at Your Table, Lord. But you'll pick up on it. Let's stand and sing.
For our ministry highlight this morning, I want to remind you of what's taking place next Sunday. Next Sunday, we continue to celebrate our 75th year in ministry here at First Baptist by welcoming back two young men who literally grew up within these walls, Justin and Noah Mofield, the two sons of former pastor Mark Mofield and his wife Amy, will be helping lead in worship next Sunday morning. Justin is in his second year of divinity school at Gardner Webb University and currently serves on staff at First Baptist Church of Forest City. Noah is a rising senior at Furman University where he studies voice and music. Justin will be leading from the pulpit next Sunday as he shares a sermon from Psalms, while Noah will be singing a special music piece, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It will be great to see these two young men once again, so I want to encourage each of you to come out next Sunday to support them and see how God has been working in their lives since they left this place. Now, at this time, I will call on Deacon Sally Farnham for the offertory prayer.
Will you bow your heads with me? Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for always being present and taking care of our every need. It is out of your great joy and your mercy that you give us so much every day. We come to you today with joyful hearts. We come to worship and to bring you our offerings. Please take these offerings and use it to bless your kingdom and your glory. May it be a great blessing to everyone it reaches. Amen.
Would you pray with me once again? Generous God, it is easy for us to comfortably imagine so many other Christians praying today and receiving the elements of the Lord's Supper. We like to think of this as a nice event, yet you remind us that when we have receive these gifts, we are also called to use the strength that they provide to witness to others through acts of reconciling love. This communion act is not a nice service meant for our comfort. It is a challenge for us to truly accept the love of Jesus Christ, who gave to us his body and his blood, that we might be redeemed to do God's loving will. As we have gathered here this day, bringing our prayer concerns to you, O Lord, help us to remember that you hold each one of us gently and lovingly, offering your healing mercies. Give us courage to be your witnesses, seeking peace in this world. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Good morning once again, and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist. Thank you for joining us on this second Sunday in the month of August. It is a beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. This morning we are not only going to partake in the Lord's Supper, but we are going to take an intimate look at this holy sacrament that the Christian church has observed for centuries. But before we do, a little story. A little girl asked her mother one Sunday morning as she was preparing lunch, "Mommy, why do you cut off the ends of the ham before you cook it in the oven?" The girl's mother turned and looked at her and said, "Oh, sweetie, I'm not really sure why, but I suppose that if you cut the ends off the meat so that the meat can better absorb the juices and spices and makes it more tender, maybe you better ask Grandma, since she was the one I learned it from. She always did it that way." The little girl said, "Okay." And she called her grandmother later that day on the phone and asked her the exact same question. "Grandma, why do you cut the ends off the ham before you cook it in the oven?" The little girl's grandmother responded, "Oh, sweetie, I'm not really sure. I think it is so that the juices will be absorbed better. Call your Nana. She is who I learned it from." The little girl began to get a bit frustrated with the whole idea, but decided to call her great-grandmother anyway the next day. "Nana, Mom was preparing lunch the other day, and she cut the ends off the ham before she cooked it in the oven. I asked her why, and she said that she did it because the juices would absorb better, making it more tender. She told me to ask Grandma to make sure, since she learned it from her. Well, I called Grandma, and she said the exact same thing about the juices and all, but that she learned it from you, and that I should ask you. Nana, why do you cut the ends off the ham before you cook it in the oven?" There was a silent pause in the conversation, and then the little girl heard what sounded like muffled laughter coming from the other end of the telephone line. "What's so funny, Nana?" the little girl asked. "Oh, sweetie, I cut the ends off the ham before I cook it because my pan was too small." Many times, we end up doing things for the wrong reasons because no one ever stopped to ask why. We have developed habits and traditions, sometimes based on nothing more than false information. The church at Corinth was having a multitude of problems, and these multitude of problems revealed themselves severely in how they partook of the Lord's Supper. So this morning, let's look at this sacred ordinance that the Christian church has been observing for a century, and let's ask some of the questions that we may assume we know the answers to, but maybe we really don't know the answers to. So let's ask the question, what about communion? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 17 through 34 this morning. The words will also be displayed on the screen behind me. We're going to break this passage down in parts. First, reading verses 17 through 22. Now, Paul is seeking to address some of the issues in Corinth and specifically how it is affecting their approach to the Lord's Supper. First reading, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 through 22. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. First, let us look at what communion is not. Communion is not supposed to be a weekly or quarterly dose of salvation. Some Christians have the mistaken idea that the reason churches should take communion every week is so we can keep our salvation for another week. We can't keep it long enough, so we take it every week. It is like filling up our tank, and this is not the case. This is one reason that most Baptist churches do not observe communion on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis. To move away from this idea that the Lord's Supper is a, like we like to call it, a salvation snack. How many of you saw communion as a salvation snack when you were a child? You walked into the sanctuary at the back, you looked up front, you saw that there was food on the table, and you were like, yes, salvation snack today. While communion can be a source of encouragement for a believer, it is not your salvation renewal. Second, communion is not literally eating the flesh and blood of Christ. There's an old teaching that says when you eat the bread and drink the juice, they would turn literally into the flesh and blood of Jesus once you consume it in your body. This is called, a long word here, transubstantiation. As Baptists, we do not believe this. We believe the emblems of communion, the bread and the juice, are simply signs or symbols of Christ's body and blood. They're not the literal elements, and they do not turn into the elements of Christ's body and blood. So this is not, communion is not these two things. So if we've started by identifying what communion is not, then let's answer the question, what exactly is communion? Let's look at four key aspects of the Lord's Supper drawn directly from this passage of Scripture that helps us understand why we do what we do. First thing is this, communion is an expression. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 to start. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, when we partake in communion, we are expressing our love for Jesus Christ. It is a way that we can say to Jesus, we love you, and that we remember what you did for us. Now, when Jesus first instituted the Lord's Supper or communion, he did it at the time of the Jewish Passover meal. In the Old Testament, God instructed the Jews to eat a meal in remembrance of how he delivered them from slavery in Egypt. Jesus was doing the exact same thing. Communion, the Lord's Supper, reminds us how Christ has set us free from sin, just like your special anthem said today. That was not a coincidence. Well, I guess it was. It's just a holy coincidence. As I've told you before, I don't believe in coincidence. Let's think about it this way. There are certain dates that are easy to remember in our head, right? We can remember specific dates. We remember July 4th, 1776, as the signing of the Declaration of Independence. We remember December 7, 1941, as the date the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, where over 3,500 servicemen and women were wounded or killed as a result of that tragedy. We remember September 11, 2001, when terrorists attacked our nation, killing thousands. We remember certain dates. They're just ingrained into our minds. Communion, while it's not a specific date, can serve as that reminder to us as well. When we observe it on a Sunday morning, we immediately remember the high cost of our salvation. It is an expression of our love for that sacrifice. It is a memory that we will never forget. Communion is a time for us to express our love for Jesus Christ and say, "Thank you, Lord, that you are willing to die for me even though I don't deserve it." Communion is an expression, but not just an expression. Number two, communion is an explanation. Reading 1 Corinthians 11, verses 25 and 26. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Every time that we gather at the Lord's table, we are preaching a sermon that Christ is the Savior of the world through his death on the cross. Communion is an object lesson. It is a visual sermon. God knew that we retain some of what we hear, but we also retain much more if we both hear it and we also see it. While the ordinance of baptism is a place where we experience the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, this occurs only once in our lifetime. However, the Lord's Supper, communion, is a place where we can re-experience Christ's sacrifice, his death, and his burial, and the resurrection each and every time that we come to the table. In God's wisdom, he also involved all five senses when we are involved and when we participate in communion. When we see the elements of the bread or the wafer and the juice, we are including every sense that God has blessed us with. We touch the elements with our hands, holding them, usually oftentimes intimately. We don't just throw them around. We taste each element, remembering Christ's sacrifice for us. We can even smell the elements, the aroma of the juice grabbing our attention. Finally, we can even hear as I break the loaf of bread or as I pour the juice into the chalice. We can even hear our neighbors preparing the elements beside us. All five senses play a part in taking the Lord's Supper. We remember Jesus' death by using all of our senses. Think about Jesus when he made that sacrifice. With those senses, we are drawn into the meaning of the cross. Jesus could see the post as he started carrying the crossbeam. Simon of Cyrene then was forced to carry Jesus' cross. Jesus could see where he would die. Jesus' hands, his feet, and his back touched the wood of the cross. His shredded body was laid against the pole and then upright. Jesus tasted the wine vinegar against his lips. Jesus could smell death all around him. With crucifixion being used by Romans quite often, the stench of death would have been in the air. Jesus could hear the remarks of the passerby as they looked up at the cross and mocked him. He could hear the cries of his very own mother at the foot of the cross. When God designed communion, he made it in such a way that we are completely drawn into it. Communion is an explanation. The third thing that communion is an expectation. Reading again 1 Corinthians 11, 26. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We anticipate by partaking communion that one day we will meet Jesus Christ again. Communion is a time to celebrate this very hope. Communion looks back to the cross, but it also looks forward to the day Jesus will return in his glory. We partake with an attitude of reverence, but we should also partake with an attitude of victory. It's a party, I think, as Phil Thompson once told me. It's a party. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 and 17, verses 15 through 17 says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. We can look around and see some really bad things in the world today. But as we come to the Lord's table today, we can still be joyous in the midst of a troubled world, for Jesus will one day take us out of this world to a better place in heaven. Denver Sizemore, in his book, 13 Lessons in Christian Doctrine, wrote this. When man builds memorials, he builds memorials out of the most durable material that you can possibly find. Christ, on the other hand, chose very fragile and perishable materials. Bread will quickly mold and dry up. Grape juice left for a short time will sour and spoil. This indicates that Jesus did not expect his monument to last because of the substance of which it was made. Rather, he knew that the permanence of his memorial would depend on the love of God in the hearts of his people. Communion is an expectation of what is to come. Fourth, communion is an examination. Reading 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 34. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. A criticism that the Apostle Paul had for the Corinthian church was the fact that they were showing favoritism in their church service. In the early church, communion consisted not only of what we observe today, but it consisted of a fellowship meal followed by the actual communion. In the meal portion, some Christians were being extremely insensitive to the others within the church. If you read between the lines here, you can see that people were playing favorites, judging one another instead of examining their own faults. Looking back at verse 31, it says, "But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment." You see, the problem at Corinth is that there were divisions in the church, and each of the groups thought of themselves as superior to the other group. They were more concerned about the how much better that they were than concerned about the other people within the congregation. When it comes to communion, regarding this fourth idea that communion is an examination, it is to be very limited. Communion is an examination between just yourself and the Lord. When done that way, communion is very revealing. So here are some questions that may assist you in this personal examination as we approach the table. Who should take communion? Occasionally some people wonder, well, what must I do to take communion? What do I have to do? Another question is, does the church have restrictions on who can take communion? Since I have been a member here at First Baptist, and that's been for many, many decades, 25 or so years, First Baptist has practiced what is called open communion. That means we do not have a group of communion police telling people they can or cannot take communion. Communion is open to those who wish to partake. With that said, there seems to be some biblical precedent as far as who is supposed to take communion. Communion is designed for a body of believers, for individuals who have accepted Jesus Christ into their hearts as Lord and Savior. It is a memorial to remember what Christ has done for you. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, then this memorial would not have much significance. I once had a parent ask me about their child and taking communion. Children are often fascinated with this ordinance. The questions asked are great. It is a great teaching time for parents. If taking communion as a child helps in this teaching opportunity, then that is fine. If a parent chooses to allow their children to wait, wanting their children to wait until they have made a personal profession, that is okay too. This builds the anticipation for the first time communion is taken after a child dedicates their life to Christ. Whichever way is chosen by a family, allow communion to be a teaching opportunity, because that's what it is. So, what does it mean to take communion, as it says in this passage, in an unworthy manner? If we believe that taking communion in an unworthy manner means that if we've sinned this past week, then we cannot participate in communion, guess what? None of us would be taking communion this week. Amen? Amen? Amen. We wouldn't even get ready for communion. We just leave all the elements up in the refrigerator. We never take communion. That's not what it means when it says in an unworthy manner. I think unworthy manner can really be understood in three different ways. First, one way is if you do not examine yourself, then you feel no need for forgiveness extended to you by Christ's death. When we examine ourselves, we come humbly to the Lord. When we examine ourselves, we are less condemning of others. This is one way that would be unworthy if we don't think we need to examine ourselves. We're all good. That's one way that's unworthy. A second way to take it in an unworthy manner is if you do not recognize the sacrifice of Christ's blood. If we do not recognize the need for Christ dying for us, we are taking it unworthily. We have become so preoccupied with self that what Christ did no longer matters. It's just all about me. If we're all about me, then we might as well leave the elements on the table, because it's not all about you. It's all about Him and what He did for you. That's another way to be taking it unworthily. And the third and final way to take it in an unworthy manner is to fail to recognize the body of Christ, that we all stand before the Lord as sinners saved by grace, as receivers of this wonderful gift. And this is where Corinth got in trouble. They forgot that every last one of them stood in equal plane before God. No one was above the other. And so as we approach the table, as we approach this time where we remember the sacrifice, if we think we're better than someone else, that I deserve to be there and they don't, then we need to step back, step away from the table, and get right with God. Because communion is for the church. Why do we take communion every month at First Baptist, every other month at First Baptist? Some churches hold it every week. Some churches take it every other week. Some churches observe communion once a month. Some churches only take it twice a year. Why every other month? Honestly, there is no place in the Bible that says you should observe communion this often in worship. There's nowhere that you will find it. I think one of the dangers of taking communion weekly is that it becomes a routine and it loses its sacredness. However, I think observing it once a quarter, we might neglect this holy observance. We might lose the sacredness of what this meal is. However often it is observed in this church context or whatever church context you're in, the meal should be sacred. It should be holy and it should be blessed because communion is an examination. In closing this morning, the message of the cross is that even though we are all sinners who consistently fall short of the glory of God, Christ died for us. There is nothing that we can do to earn salvation, but through our faith in Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross, we can receive salvation by grace. This is the significance of communion, a holy meal that is an expression, an explanation, an expectation, and deserves an examination by each and every one of us. That is what communion is. That is why we come to the table this morning. And let us partake in the body and blood of Christ. When Jesus gathered with his disciples that day or night, he knew what the following days would hold. And in preparation for that evening, in preparation for what the nights and the days would hold, he grabbed a loaf of bread. And grabbing that loaf of bread, a symbol that had been on the table many, many meals before, he picked it up and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." Let's pray. What powerful words. What powerful words that transformed a simple element into an element that has transformed the church for so many centuries. Thank you, Jesus, for giving of your body, a body that was broken for us, a reminder of a sacrifice made, a sacrifice that was not deserved, but a sacrifice that we hold so dear. And we give thanks this morning. Amen. Christ's body was broken for you. Take and eat. Amen. After taking the bread, he then took the cup. An element that was found in every meal before, an element that they had all held in their hands so many times before, but this time when Jesus held the cup, he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant that I pour out for you. a new covenant, something that was going to transform not just their lives, but our very lives today. Let us pray. Holy Christ, for the blood that you poured out for our lives on the cross, we give you thanks. And as we come to the table this morning, may we be ever reminded of the sacrifice that was made for us and the sacrifice that we're called to make for you as we go out into the world and to share that new covenant, a covenant of love and respect and transformation. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. The blood of the new covenant that was poured out for you. Take and drink, all of you. After the meal was taken that night, I'm sure there were questions swirling around the disciples' heads about what Jesus had said about his body being broken and the blood being shed. And maybe today, as we looked at communion in an intimate and in-depth way, maybe you have questions. Maybe you have questions today that you never asked before. I want to encourage you and let you know I'll be at church throughout this week. If you have something to stop by and talk to me about this sacrament, please don't hesitate. Call me. Send me an email. Stop by. Let's talk about it. But also as we come to this time of closing, as the disciples left that night, they said, Scripture tells us, they went out singing, rejoicing. They didn't know the power of this meal yet. But we do today, the power and significance of the sacrifice made. And for that, we can sing praise to God and give thanks. So as we stand and sing this morning, we sing praise to God for that sacrifice. If you have a decision to make this morning, recognizing the sacrifice was made for you for the very first time, I'll be down front to talk with you. If you're looking for a church body that is seeking to love Christ and to share what the significance of this meal is with the world, First Baptist can be that place for you as well. Or maybe you just have some thoughts, some intimate time you need with God. Spend that up here at the altar. Spend that time in your pew. Whatever decision you need to make today, make it today. Don't put it off. Let's stand and sing a celebration of joy to Christ this morning. Supper is an invitation to go out and share the message of Christ's love and sacrifice to the world. Go in peace, knowing you have a job and a responsibility to do. Go in peace. Thank you.
up here.